Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered. 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 Impermeable. Unbothered. Impermeable. Unbothered. I'm the people's champ. Obama. And you don't understand. Melania. Permeable. Unbothered. Sick. Allergic to the con artist. Fake woke. An imposter. Only real ones up in my roster. Like Junior C. That's my roster. You know I just been bossed up. I've been high. My shit been bossed up. I've been high. My shit been
Hey, everybody. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
How's it going?
Good. No complaints.
Sorry, my phone might be a little bit loud because I currently have an ear infection and cannot put headphones in my ear. So.
Oh, no.
Sorry, if my background is a little loud. But we'll do what we
got to
do.
No, it's not loud.
Okay, good. Lovely.
Not loud on my end.
How are you guys doing on this fine Tuesday?
Oh,
wow.
No complaints.
Excited.
Excited.
These are exciting times. These are exciting times.
One week and counting.
Excited is an understatement.
On so many different levels, it says so much about us as a people and what we're going through and how we make our decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exciting times, particularly for your generation. I just hope that you all realize that you really have a great opportunity here to do the right thing and to move to another level.
It's funny because it's actually Mercury retrograde, and you're not supposed to make any long-term or big decisions. It's a time of reflection and all that, so choosing the best for the next 4 years might not be the best thing to do during Mercury retrograde. But,
For me, you ain't making a long-term decision. You're making a short-term decision. Get that crazy ball head out of town.
True. That's true. That is true.
That's short term. Long term is what you're going to do after.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's not that long, I suppose.
But interesting.
Yes, interesting time.
Yep.
All right.
I already voted. I voted by mail.
Oh.
Yeah.
I am.
Your mother voted today.
Yeah.
She came home and woke me up to show me her button. I voted today.
they should send everybody that voted by mail a button, too.
It is. Yeah, you should. You should just go pick one up. It's crazy, though. Because I didn't even know that, like, everybody acts like Election Day is Election Day. Election Day is just the last day you can vote. But Election Day is not Election Day. It's always been this way. We've always been able to vote early. We just didn't know that we could vote early.
Yeah, but also people
now
didn't utilize it because of, yeah, but because of everything that's going on with the pandemic, people are like, oh, no, waiting for 4 hours in line to go, you know, expose yourself for 4 hours? No, thank you.
But the lines are still long. It's crazy.
No, not if you do by mail.
No, I'm saying the lines
by mail.
The lines are still long if you vote like
how
mommy voted.
Yeah, no, the lines now are long. They're 3 to 4 hours long. I can't imagine on Election Day how long the lines are going to
be.
Right.
They may not be at all because everybody may be doing it now.
That's
hopefully
true.
Because I'm going at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'm going to vote, and then I'm not coming back out until the next week. I'm not coming
on it. That's good.
The rest of the week, because people are crazy.
You're doing better than me, because I may not come back for the rest of the year.
People are
stuff gonna be happening in the street. People crazy.
Yeah.
People are crazy for no reason. Like I was just talking about that today. Like we literally do not take our mental health serious enough because stuff that's happening is not of a sane mind. There's no way that you can be sane and do and think the way that people are doing and thinking.
Even if you're sane, you got to think like an insane to survive.
Yeah.
That's sad, and it's hard for people that, well, I guess we're all a little insane. It's just,
but you know,
people are just crazy.
I was just asking your mother, just a simple question I have to ask. In all the years that I've ever experienced an election season, it has never been like this.
No.
That's what I'm saying. Like, never.
But everybody should just ask themselves. Like what you're saying. Okay, everybody's expecting lines to be long, the pandemic, because of Election Day. But you're still on a 3, maybe 4-hour line. So you're still exposed to the same things if you vote early. I'm not talking about the vote mail-in. I'm talking about the early voting where we are. You know, the place that you can go to vote.
But, you know what? Go ahead. I'll say it when you're done.
No, my only question that I ask all of us is, why is this happening? Why is this different than all the other elections? Along with the pandemic, I understand that. But doesn't that tell you something about the government?
No, I'm going to tell you why people are doing it right now.
I'm good.
And people are going to be offended. People are going to be offended, but people want to be able to post a picture of it on Instagram and say I voted early. There's a whole I think there's an Instagram page called I voted early or I voted something like that. But people want to post it on social media.
Wow.
Like, why do we need to vote early? It doesn't make any – but I noticed that now. Everybody's making music videos and doing all these things. All of a sudden, like, same thing with everything else. A lot of people go to protest just so that they can post it, just so they can go live on Instagram. This is the era that we live in. Because after it's over – nobody cares again. And that's the saddest thing to me.
It's absolutely
people base
amazing.
Their life off of social media. It's sad. It's just disturbing.
Yep.
And there's nothing wrong with enjoying social media, I don't think. But there is something wrong when you're judging other people because they're not doing what you're doing, but you're only doing it because you want to have something to post on social media. Because I realize that this last 4 years has been crazy, but this is the first time in the history since probably the Civil Rights Movement. This is the first time that we really realize how bad it is. So as bad as he is for the division of the country, like it's like Bird Box. You, the only way for you to survive is to keep the blindfold on. Did you guys see Bird Box?
No, I didn't.
Yes, I did.
Okay, so then you know, Candace, what I'm talking about. Like, the moment that you take the blindfold off, you everybody goes crazy. And you die and all these things happen. But when you have the blindfold on, the stuff is there. You just don't understand it until you take the blindfold off. It's the same thing
with the
story that you tell about the light. The story with the light? When the lights are off and then you turn the lights on, like you can see everything in the room. But it was never not there. You just didn't know it was there. So as bad as this election is, like, people are being so dramatic, but there's people that are finding things out that they didn't know before. These people didn't appear out of nowhere. These Proud Boys and everything else, allegedly, they didn't appear out of nowhere. They've always been here. But we were living in a world where we thought that it was, like, everything was progressive and everything was getting better. And it wasn't.
Well, ignorance is bliss for a lot of people. People rather stay ignorant to a lot of things and blind to a lot of things than to actually see what's going on, because when they see it, that means it's turned into a reality.
It's turned into a reality, and a lot of people are forced to look at themselves now, because that's another issue.
But
a lot of things that are going on, like people have to look at themselves, and not just white people. A lot of different types of people have to look at themselves and realize what's going on, because nobody wants to take a look at themselves. Everybody wants to talk about other people, but nobody wants to fix themselves.
That's true. It's a hard reality, we just have to be smarter about it. Like Daddy says all the time, there's so many different distractions that are thrown at us so that we are not paying attention to what's the most important. And then it comes to the point where it's too late in it to be able to make any significant changes. And so what we have to do is just, take the blinders off and pay attention to everything and stop paying attention to the frivolous things that they want us to look at.
I think the song Glory that was co-written and produced by Common and John Legend, there are words in that story that I think are so important, because it's the wisdom of the elder and the energy of the younger. And I just, from my experiences, having the civil rights and human rights era, and having gone through the 70s and the 80s, the assassinations of John F. Kennedy, Medgar Evers, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, having gone through that, and now here we are. Here we are now in 2020 with a younger generation. And one of the things that we all have to do is we all have to understand how each of us feels. I understand exactly how people feel that say, I've had enough of this okey-doke. I don't want to play your game anymore. I'm not going to vote. I understand that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's important that no matter where you are, according to your views of voting, that we all are empathetic to our people for all they have been through.
Mm-hmm.
My suggestion is to look at it strategically and as a tactician. It's not about them liking you. Most politicians don't like the people. They're just doing it for the sense of power and money.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's not about liking you. It's about a strategy. This is where we have other people who are coming in.
But you can't even have a strategy. Because in our community, when you have a strategy, they call you a sellout, like what they did to Ice Cube. Like,
but it don't make a difference.
Who are we supposed to talk to? Cardboard boxes? Like, are those the people that are going to be getting us what we need? Like, he's right. Whoever is the one in office is the one that he's going to speak to. Why? I don't understand why we don't get it. Like, why don't we understand? It makes no sense to me why we don't get it.
But, I'll tell you, the reason why we don't get it is because we're still caught up in emotion. You see, African people operate from the heart. This is why Ma'at and everything represented African people don't.
We're living in the wrong country. We're living in the wrong country, if that's the case.
Well, we're living in the wrong mindset. The country is fine. Ain't nothing wrong with America. America's a beautiful country. This is why I'm always careful when I talk about and speak in such open terms like America doesn't treat us right. America treats us fine. It's white supremacist and white fragilist I got a problem. I don't have a problem with America. America is a beautiful country. It is a country, and there are beautiful people in America. See, this is what I'm so concerned about, that we will get so caught up by the bite of the vampire, we'll start acting like the vampire.
That was
and
so
to everyone, well, you know, we all have to just take a deep breath and just begin to think. Look at what's going on. Understand what's going on. It you know, we're looking for the love that we've never had. We've been hurt for so long as a people. We're looking for people to help us. This is like when people of European descent, for instance, and I won't name names, but there are people of European descent that come out and do presentations, and I mean, they tear white supremacy apart. They really, they say things, you know, that are powerful. And it seems like we just get so happy with them saying it, but there's nothing that I've ever heard them say that I have not heard a black person say. But we honor when a white person says it, or a person of European descent says it, beyond when our own people say it. And the bottom line is our value system. And it's not that I don't respect those that do that, be whatever culture you are. I appreciate your honesty and your truthfulness. But there's something black folk got to understand. Black folk don't have a problem. White folk have a problem. Black folk problem is that white folk have a problem, and we suffer from their problem. We don't have, I mean, we have our little situations. We have things that we go through. I understand that. But I'm putting that aside for them. But the main thing that drives a society to its insanity, we don't have that problem. In fact, black folk is some of the most intelligent people in America because we've been in hell. And so my thing is, it's not about them liking you. Politics isn't about liking you or protecting you. It's about you fighting for what you want and use your vote strategically to ensure that you can get what you want. There's one thing I know, and this is all I ask us. I'm not telling us what to do, not my place. In fact, I haven't even spoke about what I am going to do. And I'm not until after. I'm going to talk about this when we have our show in 2 weeks. I'll talk about this, but I'm not going to talk about it now because there's some things I want to say, but I can't say it before. I have to say it after. But my bottom line is, look around you and make certain decisions in your life, not just for you, but for your grandchildren and for your great-grandchildren. And for children in 5 generations from now, in 100 years. Whatever you plan right now, be looking for the result 100 years from now.
Well, we probably won't. We won't see it, but our kids might see it. But, I mean, that's true, because we don't realize that. Well, we don't realize that slavery only, like, literally, like, they, like, I seen the other day they were talking about black and white pictures. Like, people post black and white pictures of all these things to make it seem like it was so long ago. Slavery literally ended 155 years ago. Like, it hasn't been that long. There's people that are alive that are children of slaves. So,
oh, yes.
Or slave masters. And it's crazy that we really think like it was so long ago.
That's right.
But if we do not change the way that we think, we're going to stay slaves mentally for the rest of eternity until the universe wipes us all out and we start over again.
Well, it looks like the universe is wiping some folk out now.
I mean, that's true. But us talking about it and us and us making, like, movies and songs is not changing the way that we are and the way that we think. We aren't allowed to be better, because every time someone does something where we're better, you're a sellout or you're a coon or you're, like, they literally, I saw a picture where they put Ice Cube's face, like, they superimposed his face into Donald Trump's face. And I'm like, are you, how stupid do you have to be to believe that that is true? All that Ice Cube is, and you're going to call him a sellout because he's working with the person that's able to make decisions or for the administration, because we're so focused on this election. This is not the most important election. There are other elections for other elected officials that are much more important than the presidential election. This is not the most important election.
The Senate.
Right.
The Senate is very important. But, you know, going back to our brother Ice Cube, the brother was absolutely correct. Well, okay, let me give you my opinion. This is a Cobber thought. I understand what Ice Cube did. There were just certain things that were not included that I wish had been put there in order for the community to be more receptive to it. For one thing,
but you know,
there should have been a little.
I just want to ask him. I just want to say something to what you said, and then continue. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but if there were more people that were willing to do what he did, maybe those things would have been included. But everybody's so big on posting things and talking about it to their friends as opposed to doing what he's doing. Sorry, go ahead. I just wanted to say that.
He should have collaborated with others, because from what I understand, the Congressional Black Caucus's program is more expansive than his. The Congressional Black Caucus already has a plan similar to Ice Cube. And had he collaborated, and here's another thing, he should have collaborated far more with women, because his plan, in many ways, as great as it is, was absent of a very powerful presence of the black woman.
But that is how a lot of the leaders in the black community operate. Very masculine. They don't include women in their discussions. And if they do, it's the woman that's doing it on their own, and then men. But men, black men have been very westernized. They feel that they should be the only one speaking and that women need to be seen and not heard. And that is very, very sad, because that is not – people talk about an African way of thinking. That is not – to be – for men to not include women in decision-making, if you look at all of the oracles and all of these different – deities and all of the people in African history, they're women. The ones with the wisdom are the women. And not taking anything away from men at all, but for men to think it's all about them and that women need to sit down and be seen and not heard is ridiculous and very westernized. And as much as they talk about, oh, Christianity this, oh, homosexuality this, is not African, so is misogynation against women. That's not African either.
It's important that we be inclusive. I personally had wished, when I looked over the plan, I wish he had collaborated with people, because there are people who are already got structures in place that are attempting to achieve what his plan does, so that if he had collaborated with people and brought his popularity, his fame, his power behind a collaborated movement, we have to work together. There is no one plan.
But how do we know he didn't do that? How
because
do we know he didn't do that and he didn't get the type of support that he needed? Because nobody wanted to go talk to the president.
Well, there's two reasons. One is because I saw the plan. And other is because...
No, how do we know that he didn't try?
Well, that's the question. Everybody is saying to him, who did you talk to in the Biden campaign? Like, are you going by one person? And who did you talk to in the Trump campaign? You know, who did you talk to? You know, you can say, okay, I spoke to them, but that person might have had a little problem with Ice Cube and turned it down. But that didn't mean that everybody turned it down. The Congressional Black Caucus told him, from what I understand, this is the interviews going back and forth. From what I understand, the head of the Congressional Black Caucus had not even spoken to him until after the controversy. And the head of the Black Congressional Caucus said that his plan is part of their plan, that he wasn't really saying anything new. And
so
that
why did they talk to the president? So why
didn't
the Congressional Black Caucus talk to the president?
They have been, from what I understand. But the point is that you have an individual of great power and influence, and at times, like you want your plan to go. It don't make a difference what other people have. And as I'm listening to people respond, and they're analyzing it, they're not attacking him, they're analyzing him. They like his plan, but he doesn't have the structure. And see, this is what Malcolm meant when he said entertainers are not leaders. There are people who have been on the ground for years doing this work. You know, it's like if somebody came up now and said, you know, I have an education plan for people, and this is what we need to do for our schools. And then they show it to me, and all of a sudden, it is actually my curriculum. Not that it's my curriculum personally, but everything that they're saying I've been doing for 40 years. And the point I'm making more than anything else, collaboration, reach out to other
people.
Do
you know how amazing it would be if you and Ice Cube worked together on something like this? But people would rather listen to Ice Cube than listen to you. I mean, not you specifically, because there's a lot of people that listen, but they listen to you, but they don't respect you the way that they respect, like, people that are considered to be famous. They'll pay you whatever and pay these people millions of dollars to sing to them. Like, hello.
That is why we have to collaborate and don't enter lanes that we are not proficient in. Collaborate. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was not the greatest speaker in the world. He was a phenomenal mind, but he wasn't the greatest speaker. But he went out and got the best speaker to present himself on his behalf, Malcolm X. He wasn't the greatest lawyer. But he went out and got the best lawyers. Same thing with doctors. So what I'm saying is that if we all stayed in our lane, and if those who are coming forward with plans that I support, LeBron, Ice Cube, anybody doing anything for black people, I support you. But we have to work together. We can't work in isolation. We can't go and what the cornerstone to the challenge of our brother Ice Cube is the fact that he and his group met with the President of the United States and with Jared Kushner. Now, when you listen to what Jared Kushner said today about black people, that substantiates what people are saying why Ice Cube should never have talked to them. What he said today was horrible.
He shouldn't have said it. Those are conversations that we need to have with each other, because there are a lot of issues that we have. But they don't have a right to, like, he doesn't have a right to speak for black people. Even if there's any ounce of truth to anything that any of these people are saying, they shouldn't be the ones that are saying it. We need to have these conversations with each other. Like, that was one of when Kanye West went to the president and he did that whole speech about everything, those are conversations that we should be, like, what Ice Cube did should be done with a different kind of person. But what Kanye West did should have been a conversation that he had with black people when he was talking about ADD in school and children and all the different things that he was talking about. And there's a lot that he said that was amazing, but he said it to the wrong person. Because once he was done talking, the president was like, aren't you happy to come and talk to me? That was his response. It's paraphrased, but that was the response. He didn't hear anything that Kanye West said. And we didn't hear anything that Kanye West said because he said it to the president, so we didn't listen. That should have been a conversation that he tries. There's just people that try to talk to the wrong people. But everybody, you know, there's a saying, and it's completely inappropriate because of the terminology, but the message behind it is accurate. When they say that there's too many chiefs and not enough Indians, that whole saying is completely inappropriate. However, the concept behind it is that everybody wants to be a boss. Everybody wants to be a leader. But who are you leading if everybody's a leader? You're not leading anybody. Even though most of the people that are considered to be leaders are actually sheep, but that's not the point either. But there's too many people that want to be in charge and can't even lead themselves. Like, Kanye West is literally on a ticket for president. But it actually said vice president, which was interesting.
But I didn't even see it on my ballot.
Who's vice president with him?
No, he's vice president. Let me see. Hold on. He's vice president. I don't even know what state this is. But he's literally on the ballot. Let me see. Hold on, because I saw it on somebody's thing. It says Rocky De La Fuente Guerra for president, Kanye Omari West for vice president, American Independent.
Wait. He's not running for president?
De La Fuente. It says vice president.
Okay.
It says vice president, it's literally on someone's ballot.
But, you know, that's not going to impact, that will not impact the vote at all.
Duh. That's what I said. All these people that are saying, oh, my God, he's going to take votes. I said, anybody that believes that Kanye West will take votes away from Biden, it says a lot about it. Biden, Trump, and Kanye West, if they believe that. Because that's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
To believe that Kanye West will take votes away from Biden. Like, are you serious? If you would vote for Kanye West, you weren't voting for Biden in the first place. Get the hell out of here.
Chances are you'd be voting for Trump.
Exactly. So it takes the vote away from Trump. Like the logic behind that never made sense to me.
But I just want to see.
I think we should.
Next, I want to see the world in 2 weeks. See, we're going through this now, but when all is said and done, this time next week, but again, it goes back to these are very exciting times. And you see, because I focus on astronomy and history, I look at things much larger. That's why I say, you know, I'm looking for what I do today to impact 100 years from now. I'm not necessarily looking for it now. And it's interesting where people are now and the discussions that they're having and their inability or their refusal or whatever to properly analyze people like Kanye West, people like Ice Cube. Because like I told you, I understand why so many feel that. And I also understand why they're targeting black men. As a black man, I understand why Trump thinks he can get up in my grill, so to speak. You know, because you exploit the deep pain go through. See, when you're a parasite, you know people's weakness. because you need that host. And you need that host to host you willingly. And the one thing you never let a parasite know is that you know that they're a parasite.
Well,
you never let them know. You swat them when they least expect it. That's how you deal with parasites. Because once they know that you know that they're a parasite, they know it's only a time before you will do something, and then they'll do something to stop you from being able to do that. This is just so interesting to me. As a social entrepreneur, I am so interested in what I see happening. That's why I'm not going to say nothing, really, until our next show. Because what I got
That's
to say
be
can't be said
show.
Right now. It's going to be very interesting because I know what I want to think of. And also, by the way, since we won't be here, back in the day, not sure exactly what the date was. There was a brother, Douglas Turner Ward. He was an African-American playwright, very famous playwright, and he established a drama group for black actors and writers. I belonged to something like that. It wasn't the same thing, but I belonged to the Frederick Douglass Creative Writers Workshop back in the 70s, and that was an offshoot of the Watts Writers Workshop in California. Bud Schulzberg had created it. And I took classes in writing and acting and things like that back in the 70s. But this particular group that Douglas Turner Ward created, he wrote a story that became a very famous play, Day of Absence. And the play demonstrated what would happen if black folk didn't exist. What would America look like if black people were not here? All of the jobs, all of the inventions, all of the things that black folk have done wouldn't exist. It was called the Day of Absence. Within that time, there was a Panamanian brother, Carlos Russell, who was so impacted by that play, he decided to create what he called Black Solidarity. And, Sasha, I know you'll remember it because Black Solidarity Day, particularly on college campuses, no classes.
Yeah.
And basically what Black Solidarity Day, what Carlos Russell wanted to demonstrate to America in light of this play, he wanted black folk to be absent from all forms of life the first Monday of November, the day before Election Day. And he wanted it to be a day of solidifying African community at home and abroad. And this Monday is going to be Black Solidarity Day.
Yep.
And I think it leads us to pause and wonder. Now, also Black Solidarity Day didn't spend a dime, did not put any money. Long before we had the Blackout Friday, long before we had any kitting or boycotting, spending money, this is what we did.
Yep.
And so what I'm saying to our community is there'll be a lot of people who will not make it. And by that I mean intellectually, spiritually, even physically, unfortunately. But it doesn't take a lot of people to create a nation. And all you got to do is be committed and get up off each other's back. Stop criticizing each other. Analyze. Look at Ice Cube. He didn't mean harm. He wasn't trying to hurt nobody. He was trying to help black people. Wherever his strengths and not so strong points are, we can always get. But give the brother some room to breathe. Kanye West, brother need help. Stop criticizing him. This brother needs help. And there's nobody there to help him. I don't think he's a bad brother. He's not trying to start nothing. He's only trying to do what everybody else is doing, which is his right. But we're on each other too hard. Megan Thee Stallion. Okay? Back up off of her. Give her some room to breathe. Where were the adults in her life? How about her father? Was he around for her? I'm not saying he wasn't. I don't know. But before you start attacking each other, we have to analyze. Because I'll tell you one thing, Megan Thee Stallion on Saturday Night Live, she did something I ain't heard nobody do before in my life. So I give that sister credit, no matter you call it savage or not. There's a lot of metaphor in what Megan Thee Stallion did the other day. Oh, that was powerful. I ain't never saw nothing like that. To hear them actually play Malcolm X's voice on Saturday Night Live?
Oh, I still didn't watch it.
Oh, no, you need to check that out. That is something I have never experienced. So they can talk all they want to about Megan, but, hey, she my friend. I may not, you know, I see a lot of different things. But who did that in the society? Who made her do this? This is the society.
Yeah,
this ain't Megan.
But the worst thing about that is because the reason why she didn't say anything in the first place about because I don't know what's happened in recent times about her, but the reason she didn't say anything about Tory Lanez is because she was trying to protect him from getting killed by the police.
Yeah.
So, like, it's so backwards. It's backwards.
She tried
to protect him, and he's lying on her, allegedly.
But listen, Sasha and Kandake and Heru, be he here or not, and Tierra, and to all the other folk that I have a constant contact with, it's up to you now. It's your generation that's going to make a change.
Yeah.
That's why I like, you know, John Mayer's song, Waiting on the World to Change. You know, his two songs, I really enjoy his songs, Waiting on the World, and there's another one that I like. But the bottom, and it only has
we'll
one.
End it. We'll end the show with John Mayer. I'll try to find some. I have another one. I have a song that I want to play when we take a little break. I have a song that I want to play, and I think that it is very interesting because of the person that is performing it, what it's about, and what we're going through right now. So, but I do want to play the John Mayer song, so hopefully I can find it.
Yep.
But yeah, no,
you know,
what we have to do, and you know, and then we can probably play the song, but you know, we just have to understand like cause and effect, and we have to really start analyzing, you know, what people go through and what we have to make sure that we're not critical about and, you know, we're forgiven, because a lot of times people forget where they've been so that when they see somebody else where they have been in the past but they're not there any longer, they forget how it is to be there and they criticize and they ridicule and they pass judgment.
Right.
And we just have to stop doing that because we have to be there for one another. We have to understand that everybody's going through something within their life, and in order for us to be constructive criticism and be somebody there for them and let them know that we're here, there's no judgment, you know, we're here to support you. And, you know, we have to, as Black people, we have to do it for one another because there's nobody that's going to do it for us. And it's funny because I was just talking to, I just came back from vacation with two of my friends, and we were talking, we had like so many different discussions, but you know, I was telling them, like, we look at other races and we're surprised when they respond to us a certain way or we're hurt by it. And then I say, but you have to look and see how they respond to their own kind, and then understand that we can't expect anything different from them. If anything, it's going to be worse because we are not what they consider their, you know, what they look in the mirror and see. And we have to stop looking for each other's, you know, other people on the outside to accept us. We have to accept ourselves, and we have to, you know, when we're going through our moments, we have to be there for one another and support one another and, you know, just ensure that at the end of the day, we know that we can continue to be who we are and make some changes if need be. But that comes with growth, that comes with years, that comes with experience. And not everybody is in the same era or in the same, you know, headspace. So we just have to accept people for where they are, understand, meet people where they are. And if it's not somebody that you can deal with, if they trigger you, if they, you know, make you feel a certain way, then you don't need to be around them. But if this is somebody that you can possibly make a difference in their life, we have to hold our hands out and help those, because we've been helped in the past.
That's true.
Sounds good. Yeah. We're all on the same page.
We're all on the same page. You said everything.
It's all on the same page. Cause and effect.
I'm gonna play the song now. We'll be right back.
Ground floor, Mr. Mathers. Welcome to White America.
Look how many hugs I get. Look at these eyes, baby, blue, baby. I'm just playing, America. You know I love you.
Well,
well,
I didn't realize that was clean version.
Who was that?
Eminem.
Oh, okay. Is that recent?
Who has been? No. This is 2002.
Oh, wow. Okay, you told me 18 years ago. Okay.
God, it's 18
so funny
years
how relevant.
Ago.
It's so
wow.
funny how
and
relevant some of these songs are for today.
Yep, well, that's because things never change.
Mm.
And if you don't change,
right. that's
you're,
my point.
You're doomed
that,
to repeat.
That was my point earlier.
Yeah,
that was one
you're
of my
doomed
points
to repeat.
Earlier.
You know, if they had done what they were supposed to do back in the 60s, we wouldn't be here now.
Mm.
And if they don't do something right
if
now,
we,
and I'm talking about peoples of European descent, this is not our problem. The one thing that Europeans are beginning to see now is that it was never about us. We happen to be the object, but we were not the problem. They've always been the problem, but they've always excused their fathers and their uncles and some of their aunts and some of their children for acting like this. Oh, they'll grow up. They'll outgrow it, not realizing that they were growing stronger in it.
Mm.
People
Listen,
of European descent are beginning to realize this is your problem, not ours.
I agree. But I'm also going to state a very unpopular opinion. We made a mistake by becoming integrated so quickly. I'm not saying that integration shouldn't have happened. I am saying that we were in a relationship. Black people got out of the relationship and got right back into another relationship. Black people never had the opportunity to begin to understand finance, to understand themselves, because black people were created from slavery. Black people are not who we were before slavery. Black people are the result of slavery. So we never even got a chance to heal ourselves from slavery. Integration happened too quickly. We still believe that white ice is colder. We still believe that even this stupid argument about Birkin bags, like, really? Do you guys know about the argument about the Birkin bag? Because I really don't completely understand it myself.
Say that again.
It was Quavo. It was Cardi and Offset, too.
That was after all the disagreements happened. It started because Saweetie said that if your man is not buying you Birkin and paying your bills and blah, 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 you need to give him back to the streets. Because she has a song called, I think it's called To the Streets with Jhené Aiko. Like, the song was, the statement was intentional. But it became a disagreement about black people not getting, black women not getting Birkin bags, which they only make a certain amount. So the only reason why Saweetie and Cardi B have the ability to get, and this is completely, people are going to kill me for saying this, is because of Quavo and Offset, because they're part of the Migos. The Migos, like Cardi, I love her, but she wouldn't be able to get a Birkin bag on her own because you have to be on a certain level. Like Floyd Mayweather's daughter said, you have to be on a certain level in order to get a Birkin bag. Just because you can afford a bag does not mean that they're going to allow you to buy one. And that is one of the most disturbing things I've ever heard, because I was listening to it on the radio. Like, even if you have $1 million, if you are not of a certain level, if you are not a certain person, like Beyonce could get a Birkin bag, but Cardi B by herself might not be able to get one by herself. And it's no shade to her, but I'm saying, like, with the concept of what a Birkin bag is, and because they only allow a certain amount to be sold, and you're only allowed, even if you are allowed to buy one, you're only allowed to buy two per year, and they only have a certain amount in circulation. But that is the argument that black people are having on social media now, is about your boyfriend or significant other buying you a Birkin bag and paying your bills. So that is what I'm like. We never even got a chance to understand who we were before we integrated into a society that hates us for who we are. Like, it's even bigger than jealousy and fragility. We should not have integrated ourselves back into society until we were ready. We were not ready at all. Because if we were ready after the tragic event that happened in Black Wall Street, we would have been able to pick ourselves back up and do it again, and we would not be afraid to do it again because it might happen to us again. We weren't ready to be integrated. And I know it's an unpopular opinion, but I don't believe that we're ready. I still don't believe that we're ready. I don't believe that we're ready for integration. We need to fix ourselves first before we help anybody else.
But here's the key that I think. This is something that another game that they played on us. Because we weren't looking for integration. Integration isn't what we wanted. We wanted desegregation. That's the word. Desegregation meant, and
yeah,
it was explained over.
We wanted to go to their schools and get on their
buses. No,
like
we had all
of our own stuff, but we didn't want to.
No, that's not how it started, though. It started because there was a black water fountain and a white water fountain. There was a black bathroom and there was a white bathroom. There was the sitting on the back of the bus or the train. It was the dehumanization of a human being. We didn't want to be around white people. When have black people ever really wanted to be around white people?
The idea was not
integration.
We could have sat up in front of our own bus, and we had our own bus companies. We could have sat up in front of those buses. And when the Montgomery bus boycott was happening, we had our own bus. We had our own bus companies.
But that was the trick that they played. Again, when we talk about words that are introduced that we now use that had nothing to do, we didn't want integration. That wasn't the point. The point is that if we were on the road and we wanted to stop in a restaurant to have a sandwich, this is what was explained. We wanted the right to be able to go into that restaurant to eat. We didn't want to have to go around the back and order our food and then not be allowed to eat inside. So it wasn't about integration. Black people have never wanted to be around white folk.
So why are we dying to be around them now?
We're not dying to be around them now. We really are not dying. It's not integration that we want. Because they don't have what we have. They're the ones coming into our neighborhoods. You know, with Trump talking about they want to go out to the suburbs and ruin your neighborhood. Look, regentrification, white folk are coming into the black neighborhood.
I mean, that's true, too.
But you see, the evidence is right in front of us, but because they keep pushing these words, like what Trump does, Trump pushes the words that create the definitions of your reality. Power is the ability to define someone's reality and have that person accept that definition as if it were their own. Trump keeps throwing these words out at you. He keeps talking about the coronavirus is going away. It's ending. And now we had the largest number of people catch it today. But if he keeps telling you this,
really?
the power of positive thinking. Ugh. Listen, you know the other thing? If you want to get a book. My mother gave it to me, your grandma. It was called The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. That's what Trump does. He tells you, and the words he used. It's a book you should read because it goes along with black philosophy. Okay. You know, and he had a church. Norman Vincent Peale had a church. My mother, being very Christian, you know, she read the book. She gave it to me, and I read the book. And part of my philosophy is the power of positive thinking. That's why I tell you it ain't over till we win. That's as positive as you can get. But the idea is we didn't want integration. We wanted desegregation. If we were on the bus and everything was crowded in the back and there were seats in the front, we wanted to sit in the front of the bus. We didn't want to sit with white
people. Three out of 100 wanted desegregation. 97 out of 100 wanted integration.
I don't think
because
so. In fact, I think it was the other way around, Sasha. Black folk really did not want integration. That was not our word. That was white people's word. White people, when we wanted desegregation, white people said, we don't want them integrating in our neighborhood. The same thing Trump said the other day about protecting their suburbs. I saved your damn communities. That's what he was saying. Mm. We're not interested in going in their neighborhoods. Some of us are. I'm not saying that. Some of, but the thing is that they're playing a mind game. And in Star Wars, it's called the Jedi mind trick. If they keep saying something to you, you'll believe that you actually thought the word up. We never said integration. We never said we want to integrate with you. It was white people that said we don't want them to integrate with us. We don't want to integrate with them. The word we used was desegregation, which means that you cannot have segregated buses or trains. You cannot have my water fountain broke. And because the black water fountain and the white one work perfect, now you tell me I can't drink water because that's for white people only.
But nothing has changed. Nothing has changed.
Well,
except that now
changes.
It's a mental instead of a physical.
Well, just imagine going to McDonald's and they tell you to go around drive-through. You can't come in here.
Okay. No.
That was my generation. That was my generation.
No, that I agree.
My generation
that
said that you put your money, you paid your money in the front of the bus, got off the bus, and had to go to the back door. And sometimes if you got the wrong driver, he would drive off with your money and you standing in the street. And there was nothing you could do. There are fundamental changes that have occurred that we have to be aware of, but also realize we ain't nowhere near where we should be, but we certainly aren't where we used to be.
But it still feels like an illusion because instead of it being instead of the black and white water fountain being next to each other, now they're in separate communities or across the street from each other. Because if you walk down Harlem, you could be on one side of the street with the cleanest, nicest street. The building is beautiful. There's a doorman. It's amazing. There's plants. Across the street is the project where there's dead rats on the floor and people doing all sorts. Like, it is different, and I do not take away from the differences, but sometimes it feels like a treadmill. Sometimes it feels like you're running and sweating and working out and you think you're going somewhere, but you haven't moved from the space where you are. You feel like you've gone somewhere because you're sweating and you're out of breath, but you haven't moved. Or a hamster wheel or whatever you want to consider. We have made the effort to make changes, but you're given the rights that seem like actual rights, but they're actually to make you shut up.
But you know something.
It doesn't feel like we've gone anywhere. Individually we have. But as a people, it doesn't feel like we've gone where we're supposed to go.
That's correct. But where we should be, you're correct. But you know something? Your generation has made phenomenal forward march. It's important that you understand it. I'm coming to you as a person that is where I am in my experience. The society is not where it used to be. It will never be the same again. Your generation made a fundamental shift and a fundamental change over the past 4 years. And I thank President Trump for doing that. Because it's only in getting somebody as horrible as him. It's only when you get someone as horrible as him to make everybody look inward. And then the pandemic hit and everybody's sitting at home and they're thinking, when the pandemic hit, it gave people a chance to examine, really, what's going on with you? Are you really that hateful? Do you really hate? And a lot of white folks say, you know, I don't like black people, but I don't feel that way about them. You know, I don't like Hispanics, but you don't separate children, infants, from mothers. White women as mothers, there was a collective understanding when that happened south of the border. There was a collective understanding. I heard a group of white women say, when they heard George Floyd call out for his mother, every mother in the world understood what that meant. It don't make difference what culture you are. Every mother could hear their child call out. Because, you know, mothers are very special people. Mothers are the ones that every human being goes to when everything else is lost. You don't hear, like, trouble. Well, it may happen, but for the most part, you don't hear trouble happening to somebody, they say, Daddy, help me. They don't say Daddy. They say Mommy. Mommy, even husbands say, Mommy. Yeah, you see your mother say, that's right. Because I call your mother, I say, Mommy. Help me, Mommy. Your generation has made a fundamental shift that will never go back to the way it was. And the more hell you catch is because the more heaven you're creating. Because the people who want to oppress you realize their time is up. Their time is up. You're now going to take a back seat because the world don't want to hear from you anymore. You've had your time. You've had over 500 years to get this right, and every turn you got it, you failed. Every chance you got to improve it, you failed because you're hate-filled. And hate don't go no place. And the only thing that hate does, it only proves that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. And justice is today. This is what's happening now. Justice. And they're going to get justice. Because one of the principles of Ma'at is reciprocity. You shall reap what you sow. Mm-hmm. Well, you shall get what you've been given. And it's over now. Your generation has to jump on board. And forget about these old white men, because their time is up. Their time is up, and they have created a hate-filled world that cannot survive. And Mother Nature has come through and told us, you Democrats couldn't do it. You liberals talk too much. Republicans ain't nothing but a bunch of beasts. So here I come. I'm coming through. I'm not going to drop a bomb. I'm not going to fire a shot. But I'm going to make you all go home and think about how you've been acting. And you better not come out until I tell you. Don't be telling me about no vaccine. There is no vaccine.
Exactly. Don't try to peek
You'll
out.
You'll get out when I tell you. You know, like Mama say, you go in your room and you come out when I tell you. And then all of a sudden you jump out your room. Your Mama say, what you out here for? You say, well, I'm doing better. Did I tell you to come out? Did I tell you to come out? No. Again, get back in that room. And that's what's happening now in this third phase.
Very well.
Okay? This is what's happening. It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor for the Black Cosmic Mother. This is a feminine age. This is the time for the feminine energy to rise and to make what is wrong right. And that's your generation. And everything your mother and I have done, and many mothers and fathers out here, my generation have done, is to prepare you for what your responsibility is. We're tired of this. Fannie Lou Hamer said, I'm tired of being tired. And it's time, but it's your generation that's going to do it. And it's the generation behind you that is going to fulfill it. Just keep doing what you're doing and have no distractions. Support your people.
I think that what you said, there was a video that you had on your page, and I think it's one of the most important, as much as everybody wants to vote, as much as people feel like that's important, one of the things that you said was, does anybody think Harriet Tubman was concerned about who was president when she was, I don't know, when you said when she was trying to get to freedom or to get to,
do you think that Harriet Tubman, who cared the president was when she was on the Underground Railroad?
Right.
When she was conducting the Underground Railroad.
It doesn't matter who wins.
It doesn't. That's right.
If we are working on ourselves, it doesn't matter who wins because they both are two heads of the same coin. There is no difference between the two of them, except one is trying to get into our pocket with us, like, and hiding it, and the other one is like, give me your money. And one of them is hugging us and putting their hands in our pocket and stealing our money, and the other one is just robbing us blind. There is no difference. If we want to vote for Biden, if we want to vote for Trump, whoever the hell you want to vote for, they are the same person.
That's it. There's
and
only one devil in the room.
Way. Right. And just and Biden was so proud of all of the money that he spent on taxes. If your taxes are in the six-digit realm, you do not understand how it feels to be a black person living on 149th Street. Like, you don't understand. So for him to be so proud to pay however much, huh?
No, I just want to say, I am walking past a project in Manhattan, New York right now. There are lines. This is a project. I believe this is the Frederick Douglass houses here. I believe it is, but it's like on 100th Street, between 100th and 103rd. I grew up in this neighborhood, so I'm familiar. There is a line outside of this project that we have been passing for at least a block right now, and we still have not gotten to where the people are going to vote.
Wow.
I just wanted to say that because that's live. This is happening as I'm speaking to you right now. I am passing this, and every one of them has a mask on, and every one of them is 6 feet apart. These people ain't playing out here. And it's going all the way. Oh, my goodness. Look at that line. See, tonight you can vote up until 8 o'clock.
It's the effort. But it's the
Listen,
effort,
these
though. That's
folk are not
more,
playing.
More important. And that is the energy that we need to have. That's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't matter. I mean, vote for who you want to vote for. But make the effort to do something to make your life better. And it might start with people voting. It might start with the line. There's a lot of people that would have never waited on a line for all those hours in that neighborhood because they didn't care. The fact that people are waiting on the line for hours to make a vote, to care, is what's important. That's, to me, one of the most important things. And even when we were having that conversation with Haru, and when he had said, black people, our ancestors didn't die so that we could vote. They died so that we could have the choice to vote. And it's like what you had said about the reason why with the desegregation. I should be able to sit in the front or the back if I want to. It doesn't matter where I sit. I just shouldn't have somebody telling me which door to go into or which water fountain to use. Or I like voting. I appreciate the concept of voting, and that's why I vote. But we fought so we had the right to vote. It's not about whether we do or not. It's just that we should have the equal opportunity in the country to do whatever we need to do to make our society better.
Amazing. We're living during some really powerful times.
People care.
But to the younger people, my emphasis is on what you have to do to repair what has been done. And I just appreciate and respect what I see your generation and the younger generation doing. It's just like that. It's just simple like that. And I just have ask myself, why is that line so long? I have never seen this in all the years of voting. Somebody is cheating. Somebody is despicably attempting to take away a basic human right, which is, I'm not talking about the vote. I'm talking about your voice, your humanity as an individual. You have a right to speak. And that's what they're trying to take away. They're trying to take away your voice. The vote is a way in which you do it. And I'm telling you this as an educator. I've done presentations where people had the audacity, while I'm talking, to turn off the light.
Oh, God.
Okay, and guess what homie did? I kept talking because I said, you can turn the light out on truth, but you can't shut it up. And I just kept on talking until the room was so embarrassed they had to turn the lights back on. And then I said, and God said, let there be light. And they couldn't handle that either. But that's beside the point. But I know how they tried to shut me up.
And this is why.
They tried to shut me up. And so I understand everybody has a right to speak. Your vote is only, it's the vote isn't the only thing. There's a whole bunch of things that we have to do. Voting is only one of the pieces of ammunition that we have. But there's a whole bunch of things that we have to do. There's a number of things we have to do. But everything works. No one thing is the answer. All things and everything is the answer.
Well, I don't even want to
what
say
you think,
Condake?
No, how about Condake? Condake, quiet tonight. You know, this is the way it used to be growing up.
I think that's it. All she wrote. That's all. That's how you gotta leave it, because it's the truth.
I like when
this generation, the younger generation, we have to listen to the elders. Because what we're going through right now is no new trick or no new pony. This is something that has been around for generations, and we have to look to the elders to understand how it was to survive it, and not only to survive, but to thrive and to continue and to have a sound mind, body, and soul. And, you know, I think people are forgetting that that is what wisdom and elders are there for. They're there to help us to get past and get through a lot of what we're experiencing. So I just appreciate being able to sit at your feet and, you know, hear the stories and understand that it's not something that is against us. It's not something that's against the youth. This is something that we've been up against for our whole entire lives, and we just have to start looking and seeing everything that we're dealing with for what it is. We are an amazing people. We are a beautiful people. We are above all, we've been able to overcompensate and overdo what others probably would have failed at and crumbled at. And, you know, we still have a leg in the race, considering that that leg is shackled with, you know, weights trying to weigh us down. But we've overcome everything, and we've only gotten stronger. Our legs are stronger from carrying all of the weight that we're carrying. Our backs are stronger from carrying all of the weight. And we just have to understand that we are strong, the fact that we are surviving and we're here. And just appreciate who we are and how far we've come. Don't try to separate or segregate or feel like one is better than the other. We've all had our struggles, and we've all been able to overcome them. And we should be able to celebrate that. So I say all of those that are waiting in line to vote, power to you. Bring you some chairs, some snacks. Let, you know, take turns using a bathroom. Support each other in this, because we're in this together.
Absolutely,
and that's the only
amazing
time we prosper is together.
Much respect. Much respect for everybody that's doing something about the situation, whatever it may be, in whatever way you are contributing. Much respect to you. Keep doing what you're doing. And that's what we ought to be saying to each other.
Absolutely. And the thing is that there's very little in our lives that we have control over. And our voice is something that we have control over. So take back your voice if you've lost somehow, or raise your voice, you know, to understand that we have to exercise that ability to vote. There was a time that we were three-fifths of a person, and now we have that ability to vote, but yet we're falling to, you know, listening to what others are telling us to do. It's all a mind game, and we have to realize that if it was so unimportant, why are you going so hard to tell us not to vote? Oh, you're not going to vote for me, so let me just try to confuse you. And, you know, the tricks and the lies, it's so easily you're able to fall victim to them because, you know, there's so much coming at you at once, and we just have to stop, realize, counsel one another, and understand that we have to exercise that ability to vote. Like Sasha said, whoever you decide to vote for, that is your decision, that's your prerogative, but just exercise that ability to vote, because there are people who died prior to even have that ability to stay and stand in line for hours. It's a privilege to be able to stand in line for hours. It's a privilege to be able to have a voice. So use that voice and don't let that be taken from you.
And, you know, just to connect with what you said, Kandike, about the 3/5 of a man or human. Now, connect that to the Electoral College to understand exactly what's going on. They did not say that black people, African people, were 3/5 of a human being. That 3/5 clause applied to the European slave master's property, because you got your prestige and your votes according to your personal material wealth. So, that's what it basically was, and that's why it ensured that only white Christian men would be able to vote. Because if you had 5 Africans on your plantation, that counted for 3 people. That counted for 3 votes. The 3/5 clause did not apply to black people as human beings. It applied to the owner of the enslaved people, the so-called owner, and the votes that he had and he could cast. 3/5 meant that every human being that was of African descent was equivalent to 3/5 of a vote. So if you had 5 Africans, that equaled 3 votes. It did not apply to humanity. It applied to white people. They even counted your wife as your property, your cows, your dogs. This is how deep
and
this
not
gets.
Everyone.
These
not
folks
even
are sick.
All of them.
They're sick.
But not
and they're
even
mentally
all of
disturbed.
Them own slaves. But not even all
no,
of
not,
them own slaves. But they all fought for the right to keep slavery. Even the ones that didn't own slaves or couldn't own slaves, they still wanted slavery to exist, even though they didn't. They weren't even respected or wealthy enough to own slaves themselves. They were fighting for things that didn't even have anything to do with themselves, which is crazy.
Well, they're still doing it today. They're supporting Trump, and Trump despises them. His followers. He don't care if they die or not at those COVID spread games. He don't care about them. He already said it. He said he don't have to shake their hands no more because they're despicable or something like that. They can't even get into his resorts. He doesn't respect them. That's why he say stay 6 feet away from me, but y'all can huddle together and take their masks off.
Yep.
I think that may be the poetic justice. The very people that support him may just be the ones that contract COVID. And, you know, for some people who have contracted COVID, dying is a blessing. Because the pain that you feel, the way it was described by a sister that worked for the New York Times, she says she's a runner. Her name is Mara Gay. She's on the editorial board of the New York Times, very accomplished sister. She has accomplished great deals in her life. She runs. She's very athletic. She got it. And she said she woke up in the morning and she had to get on her knees and lean forward because it felt like there was tar in her lungs. The pain that she felt in her lungs. There are things that will come down through COVID over the years of people that get it that don't even realize that they now, and COVID is considered a precondition, a precondition. Having COVID now is a precondition. When you get COVID, you have
like
COVID for life. That's right. This is how deep it is.
Wow, but how can they make that a pre-existing condition considering that something that is caught, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it manifests within your body the same way. Like, that's crazy.
But it could.
But if it does,
No, but everybody's, what the virus is, it's very, not similar to, the response is similar to HIV. It's not, COVID doesn't hurt you, it doesn't break you down. What it does is break down your immune system. So it attacks the weakest part of your body. So people have been getting issues with their lungs. People have had issues with chronic pain. You know, it's certain things that it attacks. It's not the same in every person. I mean, people have similar responses, like having to be on oxygen or those machines and stuff like that. But not everybody responds the same way, and not everybody – it doesn't linger in everybody. It's only certain people that it may linger in.
That's right.
But nobody knows, because this is such a new phenomenon. Nobody knows what really is going to come down the line.
Absolutely. And if you ask me, I don't even know.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, the fact that people are talking about just giving it to people, like herd immunity, like that's crazy, because that's literally playing Russian roulette, because you don't know if they're going to die, or you don't know if they're going to have issues, lifelong issues that are going to psychologically affect them to the point
everybody's drinking the Kool-Aid
that they were dead.
That's right.
Everybody's drinking the Kool-Aid. Like, Jim Jones?
Yeah, no, but people think it's a joke. They think, oh, I'm just going to get over it. Everybody gets over it. But it responds to everybody differently, and you don't know how it's going to respond to you, or if your symptoms may manifest later on down the line. Like,
that's
it's
right.
crazy
yeah.
what, how people are. So it's like, you know what? People got to make their own decisions, and they have a right to make their own decisions. But don't bring that shit over here.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah. Don't bring
that's
that to
bottom
me.
Line.
That's it.
But the problem is that that just isn't how it works, because
if they've got
it and they get on the train or on the bus or they're in a shopping mall or whatever it is, you have a chance, you see. But again, your generation, see, because I see some young people doing it, but your generation has to look larger. And I always go back to your generation, because your generation is the hope.
Yeah.
You're the future. Your decisions. And it's up to us as elders to be strong enough. I mean, putting aside you could be wise, but you also got to be strong enough to tell the young people the truth. Tell the children the truth and let them deal with it. They know how to handle it. Give them the truth. And let them handle it. And if I can be of assistance in discussion, I'm here for you.
Yep. Just the fact that we're having this discussion, this is the beginning.
That's it.
This is what we have to do. We have more of these sort of discussions with each other, and have that openness to be able to have these sort of discussions. Because like you said, you turn the light on, did the furniture appear, or was it always there?
That's it.
Conversations.
Right.
Were these
That's
thoughts,
it.
Did
well,
they just appear when we have them, or were they always there?
Very true. Very true. And just, you know, before we end, I just want to say that other song by John Mayer that I like is called Say. Say what you got to say.
Oh.
Well, even
I
if you're the only one
the
saying
one.
It, say what you got to say. That's what I say to the young people. I say, and I say, waiting for the world to change when you are the change in the world that you've been waiting for.
All right.
So, for two weeks, family, I'm looking forward to the next 2 weeks. The world
is
going to change.
One way or another.
One way or another. Great job, Mugga.
All right.
Okay. See you in two weeks, family.
See you.
Hotep.
myself.